I feel that my work was betrayed.
Who have all the fury which Didier Drogba is directing at the referee now.
There obviously seem to be a palpable discord between manager and players. Palpable discord.
Hello and welcome back to Palpable Discord, the Chelsea podcast. I'm with Grant, James, Will Dubay and myself, your host, Jack Rathborn. We're talking immediately after Chelsea's 4-0 win over Crystal Palace. And we're going to dive right in, Grant. Thoughts on that? A much-needed victory, a lot of positives to take. And as we've just heard from Frank Lampard, he's absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, it's quite a relief because the first half was one of the more nondescript halves of Premier League football I think I've seen for a while. I mean, I think we were extremely worried about the threat that that Palace were going to carry on the break. So we kept quite a lot of men behind the ball. There was a lot of tactical fouling, not something we've actually seen that much with Lampard's teams. Every time they tried to break, there was Havertz or Jorginho or whatever was just niggling away, breaking up play with a small little foul, and just making sure that they didn't actually get into our half at all past that middle third. And yeah, second half, we were much, much more dynamic. You can clearly see what Lampard said in his interview that he wanted more dynamism, Chilwell arriving in the attacking third at speed. Hudson-Odoi was a bit more direct. I think everyone, even Tammy Abraham as well, a lot more lively. So yeah, just like very briefly, I'm just quite relieved. And it's actually quite a nice scoreline, even if we did have a lot of help from Sacco and Palace's makeshift defence, because there were some pretty terrible mistakes for two penalties and for the opener. But I mean, I can't really say I care. I can't say I care that much. I just want to get 3 points before the international break, get a clean sheet, get some game time into the players that are debuting or in their second start, and yeah, just move on.
Yeah, that's right. I think pretty much what the doctor ordered as such. It was a little bit of a nothing first half, and then Chilwell early on in the second half smashing in after a Saka mistake, and then Zouma on the end of what will probably be a lot of Ben Chilwell assists this season, a pretty good header, and then a couple of penalties from Jorginho at the end, Will, to add some gloss to the scoreline. The setup, really, I mean, the thing that jumped out to me was Jorginho keeping his place in a two-man base at that midfield, and then Aspilicueta coming in or keeping his place at right back, Hudson-Odoi flanking him a bit further forward. Anything that stood out to you from the setup that sort of lends itself to telling us what Lampard is looking to achieve in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I think we definitely learned a few things today. I think we've been scratching our heads a little bit over how exactly Frank wants to play this season in the first few games. But I think we maybe learned some stuff today. I think the balance was better. I think Aspilicueta was staying behind sort of in the build-up and then sort of joining the attack a little bit more cautiously. Kind of once we've established possession in the final third, he'd join in and make a late run sort of forward. But Chilwell was really high and wide on one side, and Callum was kind of high and wide on the other side. And the two holding midfielders were maybe a little bit more reserved. I think they kind of Jorginho was dropping in to help build the play from deep, and then Kante was kind of in a more central position. I think Jorginho played well. I think Grant said he was obviously getting up quickly and making a lot of tactical fouls, which sometimes he's guilty of not being able to make. Sometimes he gets bypassed even trying to make a foul, so he was alive to that. And he had a lot of time on the ball. Obviously Palace like camped in, but I think we've been critical of him maybe not being quick enough to move the ball and not quick enough to see that kind of switch over to Chilwell and execute the pass. But he did that well today, even with time. So sometimes you learn more about midfielders with what they can do when they have time. And I think Jorginho has been guilty in the past of not being aggressive enough with his passing. But today was good. And yeah, I think it was interesting. It's going to be interesting now. The only one to come back is Ziyech. So it'll be interesting to see how he kind of maintains some of the balance we saw today with the width, with Callum and Chilwell kind of providing that width in a kind of lopsided sort of back free shape sometimes when we had the ball. I think Ziyech likes to come inside a lot and almost play very narrow as a 10. So he might have to adapt his game and sort of maintain a little bit of a wider starting position. But yeah, it's interesting. Pulisic came on and obviously played on the right. I think we've got most of our wingers are comfortable from the left. So that for me is kind of the remaining question mark over the system. Frank clearly wants to play a two. I think that seems to be kind of the default shape he wants to play. So yeah, and I just one more thing. Sorry, just I thought the centre backs played well. I think that it was a sort of a complementary partnership. I think having Aspi tucked in helped kind of protect against any sort of transitions that might have occurred down that side, and it didn't leave Thiago Silva exposed. Thiago Silva read the game really well today. I thought his temperament, his kind of composure on the ball was really good. And the second half, he stepped it up. He was a little bit more progressive with his passing. And hopefully, maybe we can see that those two sort of build a bit of a partnership. And obviously, you've got Tomori as well. He can play on that left centre-back side. So, yeah, I think we started to learn some stuff today, which was encouraging.
Yeah, I think you're right. The dynamic between Thiago and Zuma looks pretty promising. And I think you're right. If Tomori is the immediate backup, you would hope at his young age he would be able to fill in on both sides, which I think is promising. The you mentioned the right side as the almost the final piece of the puzzle. And I think it's interesting on Callum, who I wouldn't say it was a negative today, but I think it was certainly... there was elements of disappointment about his performance, in my opinion. I thought sometimes he moves in straight lines a little bit, and I think his first touch will often get caught under his feet. And I just like to see him be a bit more fluid and, I mean, a bit more decisive in what he does when the ball does come to him. If he is going to pop it off, then it needs to be much quicker and then move into space and give an angle to whoever it is that he's linking with. Or if he is gonna take it on, then I think he needs to vary it up a little bit. It did seem to be a little bit, I don't know, yeah, just like I mentioned, straight lines. Grant, do you agree that maybe he, I wouldn't say blew his chance today, but interestingly with Pulisic coming back today and then Ziyech very natural on that right hand side, is he going to have to wait a little while for his next turn, his next start? Because obviously we've heard the rumours about Bayern Munich being back in for him. We still don't know whether he'll be at the club beyond Monday, but it would appear he would likely will be. How do you see that situation developing over the next 48 hours and presumably the next 3 months up until the January transfer window?
It's quite a strange one because when the lineup came out, you know, I think if we'd seen Hudson-Odoi out of the 18, we would have expected that he's, you know, that these stories about his move, you know, have validity. But the fact that he started, the fact that Barkley left this week, so probably Mount and Havertz are being looked at as 10s and not as wide players, you would still think that Hudson-Odoi is going to be pretty involved because he's one of four wingers if you include Werner in that list. And I think I'd deal with him both if that's okay. But I mean, I think Werner really, really struggled in the game today, much like his games at Spurs and at West Brom. I think, you know, he often has chance to turn and he sort of moves the ball off as if he's expecting tight contact behind him. He takes an extra touch when he does have contact. It's pretty much all the telltale signs of someone that trying to adjust to a new league. All the things we saw with Christian Pulisic as well in the early weeks of last season. And with the freedom he had and Hudson-Odoi hugging the right, I think that is a role that we've seen Hudson-Odoi play under Sarri. I remember he started the game against Spurs playing as an old-fashioned right winger, just getting the ball, shifting it, beating the left back and getting deliveries in. We didn't really see that today except one example when he beat Mitchell and set up a sort of a half chance for Abraham. And I mean, yeah, one of the quirks of the stats world is that actually wasn't counted as a dribble, even though he obviously beat Mitchell. I've seen on who scored, it's got no dribbles for Hudson-Odoi today, which is quite strange. But yeah, he didn't really have that sort of dynamism or confidence to take on his man. And it is a bit of a worry because when we saw him break through into the first team picture under Conte and then in that preseason with Sarri. He was so dynamic and just taking on his man every time. And then when he actually got games in the Europa League and the Premier League later on, again, he was like, it seemed like almost every time he got it, he was just like, get at his man direct. And we haven't really seen him get back to that since his injury. So it is a slight worry that if he's lost some of that actual speed off the mark. I thought he did okay. I think in the second half, he was much more effective. In the first half, he was extremely passive and safe. And you want someone who can make good decisions and keep it simple when that's necessary. But I think with the role he's playing on the right, with us be deeper, and it wasn't really about linking. It was more about just giving us width and being direct himself. I think that probably is a slight disappointment. But I mean, he got 80 minutes, not a bad second half. So I don't think he's played himself sort of out of the picture, but maybe hasn't actually, told Lampard that he should be in that side regularly. Although if you look at it, it's basically him against Ziyech for that position, assuming that Pulisic doesn't play a lot on that flank. So that place is up for grabs, I find the Bayern Munich story is quite strange. If there is truth in them, he surely couldn't have played today. So I don't see how those can be true. I also don't know how those stories could have made it into the media otherwise, unless somebody's leaking it from his camp to try and leverage some sort of credibility in the squad. It's a strange one. I just can't see it. He's going to play 80 minutes today and then be sold in 48 hours or loaned out with an obligation to buy. It's the same thing. So that's how I see his game.
Yeah, I think that's pretty well covered on Hudson-Odoi, who will remain one of the more interesting players to follow under Lampard this season. One of the other interesting players that we're seeing sort of develop as he beds into the team, a new league, is Havertz operating as a number 10 today. Something I found interesting, Will, was the way in which, it was a pretty uneventful first half, but something that was apparent was the willingness from certainly the right, at least, to swing crosses into the box. And he's often been likened to Michael Ballack, but I think that is an element of his game which screams Ballack in terms of the way that he entered the box, his time of his runs, and certainly a threat in the air at some point in the season. I think we'll see that. I mean, the service wasn't quite up to scratch for that exact part of his game, but how did you see him today in that role? Just off Tammy, and not his best game, but he won the penalty, some quick feet. I mean, perhaps wouldn't have needed very quick feet to deceive Sacco, but quite a nice game, and he's certainly going to be a key part of Lampard's side moving forward.
Yeah, I think he's adapted a little. You have little moments where maybe he gets pushed off the ball and stuff, but I think he's adapted better to difficulties that Werner's had, sort of receiving the ball. I think he's operating a little bit smoother than Werner. There are a few instances in the first half where we had a little bit of space to sort of transition into, and he was really good at kind of stretching his legs, getting his head up, and finding a nice pass kind of right in the path of the player. So I think there's promising signs with him, and I think just his physicality and his height have given us something extra. Regardless of the fact that he's kind of still sort of settling in, I think he's going to be an important player, and I think he's even though we're not quite seeing him 100%, I think he still brings a lot to the team regardless. I think there is going to be more onus on maybe a little bit more of a direct approach at times in the final third. Obviously, I think it's something that Liverpool do really well. They bombard you a little bit in the final third. It's not all just like intricate play. There's lots of crosses coming in. They make the back four kind of backpedal a lot to the far post, and it creates space and knockdowns and scruffy goals. And we've got lots of players that can occupy the box. And I think from the left, you saw today Chilwell's delivery is really good. It's really exciting to see some good corners go in, consistent delivery at corners, which, I think every fan always moans about corners, but we have struggled in that department. And then from the other side, obviously you've got Rhys and Aspi, who are really good at delivering from that kind of central sort of half space zone. And then ZX coming back, and that's obviously a big part of his game. So it could be a real kind of boost for us this season, because it's not something we've really had, apart from, you know, Reece James and Aspie last season, it's not really something that we've done well. From the other side, Alonso's more kind of like wants to combine and make runs into the box, and he's a bit of an unusual kind of fullback. But Chilwell's more of like a traditional fullback, likes to get wide, deliver the ball in. Just quickly on Callum, yeah, I think Grant mentioned it during the week. I think you may have shared the video of him that pre-season game under Sarri against Arsenal, when he was just like absolutely electric. Like, his pace was just crazy. Like, his manipulation of the ball at speed was just unbelievable. And he does seem to have maybe kind of lost. I don't think he's lost that. I think it can happen with players when they come back from injury. I think a lot of it is like confidence related. I think we saw quite a few times, like Robin, when he used to come back from injuries, he'd look slower and it would take him quite a few months to kind of find that extra burst of speed. So, yeah, I definitely wouldn't give up on Callum, but I think I think Tyreek Mitchell had a really good game up until probably the last like 10 minutes, and he was getting really tight. He's really quick, low kind of centre of gravity. So it took Callum until like the last 10 minutes to finally get around him and have a kind of influential sort of kind of contribution with that cross. But yeah, I think it could be quite nice having him and Ziyech, two very different right wingers on that side. It could give us a couple of good options out there.
Yeah, certainly. I think that's an exciting prospect. The way that Ziyech played in the preseason, just his willingness to one touch out feet and deliver, I think that's something which Werner will undoubtedly benefit from Abraham too. Yeah, good point on Chilwell and the delivery. I think man of match performance, I think it's worth mentioning. Picked that up from the BT broadcast. I thought he was actually much better today compared to his cameo or his out cameo against Barnsley and his hour against Spurs. I thought he started to take people on today. There was a little trick or two, the way that he was shifting it from his left to his right foot, sort of working the angle slightly inside. And then we've mentioned it countless times, and I'm sure we will again. It's his willingness to maintain width, his ability to cut out the ball from opposition central midfield, the way that they can switch it to the right winger. He's always there to intercept with a header, and I think that's going to really help Chelsea defensively. Grant, how do you see him fitting in with, I think Werner today was maybe not his best game, but we've mentioned the way that Pulisic's coming back in, which might shift him back inside if Abraham doesn't continue to start, the way that Ziyech can offer something from the right. It's been a promising start for Werner, but it feels like there's much more to come.
Yeah, I think you mentioned that Lampard said in the week that when he's got his actual wingers back, he's got sort of a role in mind for Werner and Havertz, and you would think that's 10 and 9. It's a difficult one because you see people complaining that Werner's playing on the left, basically based on Abraham's performance against Barnsley, even though he did actually play on the left against Liverpool, but sort of a bit higher up. But we haven't got any wingers to actually play out there at the moment. So I think it's made sense to shift him onto that flank. Mitchell was going to add a lot. I mean, today, I can't remember a lot of games recently where we've had six relatively tall players to help us on set players. We've usually had a back four, and we've had, you know, the number nine, whether that's Giroud or Abraham, to defend. And obviously when Batshuayi played, he wasn't very good at that element of the game. And today we actually had the back four, and we had Havertz and Abraham. We have a lot more height. Obviously Mendy brings a lot more in the air. He had one where he sort of misjudged and went over his head, but it went to the back post from, you know, to sort of a low scoring area if the header had been on target or if Palace had got to that. So I think, yeah, the size of the side's much better. And Chilwell's good in the air. He's got a good leap. He might not actually, you know, be the sort who's going to score headers the way Alonso did, but he competes well in those diagonals. And him coming forward from left back. I mean, we've spoken a few times that having James or Azpilicueta joining in the build-up makes sense for numerous reasons. To protect Thiago Silva in that area, just to free the actual winger to have a 1v1 on the right flank, flank ahead of that. And obviously to free Chilwell up to be more adventurous on the opposite side. And Azpilicueta is absolutely perfect at that. I thought he was really good today. I mean, Palace are slightly different this season. Well, this season and after the restart, they've gone back to playing two up front. with Zaha actually playing as a striker, although he has to drop off so much. Before that, they were mostly with five in midfield with three central midfielders. And I think because of that, you want that extra cover of just having three players to actually be there in your rest defense. And SP was great. I mean, Zaha, I think he had 25 touches or something of the ball. He barely had any impact on the game. I mean, I did feel a bit for him. I mean, at 28, for him to be stuck in a Palace side who showed that little ambition in basically a free hit. I mean, really, Chelsea haven't been defending well. Why not have a bit of a go and see if we can catch some of the new, the debutants or new signings out. So it's been a good game for Chua. And I mean, it was good as well that he could play the full game because, you know, when you're starting him against Spurs and you know you can only last 60, it's really disruptive to have to take him off, regardless of whether the replacement is Emerson or someone who's actually can defend. It's just really disruptive to have to change your defence midway through the second half when you're under pressure. So getting through a full game and now going England duty, you hope after the break he's just fully back and able to play a run of games.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's an element of the side which you would hope will be locked down for many games in a row. I think you then start to rotate James and Azpilicueta, and perhaps Thiago comes out when he can't manage the schedule quite as well as he did in his previous years. And suddenly you've got a few rocks there in terms of Mendy, Zuma, Chilwell. And I think you can work around that. And then all of a sudden you have Kante in a fixed position. And you mentioned Palace and Zaha. I think it was, while it was a 4-0 win and you've seen plenty going forward to be encouraged by and to discuss, I think you look at the way that they've defended last season, the way that West Brom exposed some individual errors, to restrict this Palace side to I think it was zero shots on target over the course of a game. And notably, there was no danger. There was no, I think, trepidation when the ball was turned over. It felt like there was a real concerted effort to avoid transitions hurting the side. And I think Palace really did struggle to get it into space and to move it quickly. And I think Azpilicueta takes tremendous credit for that. And also Jorginho, I think maybe a few people winced when they saw him in a two with Kante to start with. But I felt like, as was mentioned earlier in the show, the way that he was able to make those clever fouls, I think suddenly you think there's a bit of a building block there. Will, would you say to be, I wouldn't say watertight, but dependable at the back and protect what goals that team will score? And more often than not, they are going to score plenty of goals. So to be reliable at the back is going to be the deciding factor whether Lampard achieves what he's capable of this season.
Yeah, I think there's a few things. It was the tactical fouls, we were really alive to that. The shape was better. Frank's clearly kind of learned, I think, from the first couple of games that, we need to leave more players behind the ball be a little bit more cautious in how we attack. And also, he had players that were able to recover better. I think Chilwell, I think, will become a really important player for us, partly because I think whoever stays out of Alonso and Emerson isn't able to give us the same kind of balance and width that side, and also just kind of the same dynamism or in Emerson's case, kind of willingness and kind of awareness of his sort of defensive duties. I think you saw today, I think that the only time Chilwell kind of made a little mistake, he got the wrong side of Townsend, but he was quick enough to get back in and just do enough to disrupt him. It's probably a foul, but you know, he just got in and did enough, and it disrupted the flow of Palace's attack, and it just showed you what Chilwell's also going to give you is just that kind of ability to get up and down. He's just like a real good all round, like I say, kind of traditional fullback, like modern day fullback, like can get up and down, great in the air, just great delivery, and I think, yeah, him playing there, and also I think Thiago Silva looked more comfortable on the right today than when he was played on the left at West Brom. I think he's mostly playing for PSG last season to the right, and Zouma's obviously been playing mostly for the on the left for us since he's sort of come back last season. So it all looked just a little bit, it all looked a bit better today. It looked like for the first time you could kind of see a few things come together. And I just hope, obviously now we've got the international break, so we might lose a bit of little bit of momentum, but I just hope that we kind of pick up where we left off with the system. Jorginho was good today. I still think there's a place in the team for someone to come in, whether it be Rice, or I know we've been linked with Partey from Atletico. And I think someone like that would be a good signing to play in the double pivot that Frank clearly kind of wants. Well, not clearly, but I think probably wants to have as his plan A. So I think you saw some encouraging stuff. We've drummed on so much about balance and identity, and I think for the first time today we started to see some of that kind of shine through.
Yeah, I think it's positive signs. You saw Lampard basically beaming after the full time whistle when he was speaking to the media. I think important to touch on maybe another encouraging sign in a moment which potentially could have scuppered a really positive atmosphere heading into the international break was when the second penalty occurred. I think, to be fair to Palace, I think they'll be a little bit frustrated with the way that was given. I think Chilwell arguably fouled Ayew in the build up to that one, but nonetheless, it was a clear penalty. But then you saw Abraham, and also I think it's forgotten in the discussion afterwards, Werner wanted the penalty too, but then naturally you saw that sort of leadership shine through from Aspilicueta. He came straight onto the scene, grabbed the ball, placed it in Jorginho's hands, and I think that's the right thing to do. It's not a charity out there. I think Lampard mentioned in his quotes afterwards, if somebody's on a hat-trick and they're well up in the game, then maybe he will step in and overrule Aspilicueta. But Grant, your thoughts on that element of the game, and obviously Lampard nipping it in the bud straight away after full time and mentioning that it got dealt with not just down the pitch as we all witnessed, but also in the dressing room.
Yeah, I have no problems at all with what happened there. I mean, Jorginho is clearly the first choice penalty taker. He's got a really good record in all his open play penalties except the Liverpool one, I believe. So I've no problem with him taking both. Let's be honest, I mean, we needed to kill the game off completely because you never know with this backline. And I think it sends a good message that, you know, we're not complacent, that we think the game's won already and we can start, you know, handing free goals out to people. I mean, sentimentally, of course, it would be nice for Werner or Abraham to stick one away and, you know, have that confidence, but, you know, it's just too bad. I mean, you stick to the order and that's it. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. And people were really critical of Aspilicueta when he didn't, you know, manhandle Kepa and drag him off the pitch and that League Cup final, even though he was, you know, miles up the field trying to take a throw in. So yeah, I mean, it's just good for PR and image to see him just push Abraham away and just show, you know, that he's in charge of the team, especially because, you know, he was missing last week and Thiago Silva captained the side, which kind of showed just how little leadership there is in the squad, that Thiago Silva can captain the team on his debut in a game where he probably wasn't going to play the full match because of his fitness issues. So yeah, I was pretty happy with that, the way it turned out. No issues at all for me there.
I think everyone came across quite well in that scenario, to be honest. I think Jorginho is strong enough to say, no, I'm the penalty taker, I want to take it. Obviously, the right thing to do is you have a set of penalty takers. You have your first choice. If he's off the pitch, the second choice takes it, etc. But I like the fact that Tammy wanted to grab the ball and I wanted to, you know, try his luck because he's hungry for goals. I think he's always been like that. All through the youth levels, he's just obsessed with goals. So you want to see that. And then also, Aspi, like you said, I think it's, you know, it was good how he got in there and resolved it. And Tammy didn't let it drag on. He just accepted it. And it was all high fives once the goal went in. So I think I think everyone came out of that looking all right for me.
Yeah, anything else to touch on the game itself? I think we want to mention the next 48 hours and the potential outgoings.
Yeah, just something I wanted to cover is that at least in commentary, they mentioned that there might have been a small a thigh injury for Kante. And that's why Kovacic took his place for the final few minutes. So that's quite a concern because it's just so important to the way we play. And we've seen how that Kovacic, Jorginho midfield just doesn't quite give enough, like actually defensively or carrying the ball in transitions, or at least making something come out the end of that. If Kovacic dribbles it off and doesn't lead to necessarily a great deal, just maybe bypassing someone in his own half. So Kante is just so important. It's a bit of a concern. So hopefully he'll be put out of the French squad and have a couple of weeks to recover.
Do you think that might be a tactical one?
I would love it if it is, but I just think it's hard to. I mean, if he isn't injured, it's kind of hard to make Kante tell Deschamps he is injured, and plus he has scans and all sorts of things. So if he felt a bit of discomfort, I think the commentator said he motioned to the bench that he had a little problem. So hopefully that's nothing serious. I'm sure we're going to discuss that position in the next couple of days, what's going to happen in that area. So maybe it sort of pushes us along to actually buy someone. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's clearly an area of the pitch which Lampard has concerns over. It's a little bit thin, I think, once you look beyond Kante, even when Billy Gilmore comes back. So, yeah, if we just kick things off in terms of, we mentioned Thomas Partey and I think the Declan Rice move, I think it feels like it would need a miracle or a pretty hasty leap in terms of negotiations from Chelsea's part and maybe an offer which goes beyond their... But yeah, I think there's it's going to be really interesting to see how that develops. So who do you guys think will still be at the club beyond this? I've noted a few players down. You've got Alonso, Emerson, I think, will stay. I mean, you've got Rudiger, Hudson-Odoi, Loftus-Cheek. And then I think the goalkeeping situation should be changed, but I think you're going to see Kepa and Caballero stay.
Yeah, it's a strange one. I mean, as I said before, I would have loved Kepa because of the sideshow. You know, every game he's got the camera fixed on him, and every reaction, every goal that's conceded by Willy, they focus on him to see his reaction. I just think that sideshow is unnecessary, and I get why Lampard has him on the bench just to keep his morale up a bit. The second choice is really never going or hardly ever needed, so it's not a big deal to have him on the bench instead of Caballero. But I think realistically, it makes sense for him to go out and loan for the season because he needs to play. He needs to develop. I think they said he turned 26 today. So I think if we can get him out on loan, it'll be best for everyone. Just the other guys, I think it does look like Alonso will be offloaded. Even if we have to take a bit of a hit, paying some of his wages or just getting him out on loan somewhere. Loftus-Cheek, he wasn't even in the squad today, despite Barkley leaving, despite Ziyech still not being back. So it does look like he might still be going out on loan because I can't see him getting games, especially because we haven't actually progressed in the League Cup. So that's another possible match that he could have played that he now won't be able to get. Maybe they keep him around for depth, and that might be best for the squad, just to have another body. But I just think for his development, I think he probably does go on loan. I mean, I think I'd loan him out till January because you can see what happens from there. If he has a good loan and he looks sharp, we bring him back into the picture and he can be part of the squad from January onwards. And if he can even come back in January and go back to the same club again on loan towards the end of the window, if he finds that he's sitting in the stands or not in the picture. I just think it's hard to keep him for the next 3 months if he's not going to play much. Emerson's probably going to stay out just because we can't really afford to have three fullbacks. As much as I don't really rate him as a defensively at all, I think it's probably better just to keep him around so that we have some cover. You wouldn't want one injury at fullback and then you've got two players there for months on end. I think Jorginho probably stays despite his links to leaving. If Hudson-Odoi goes, I'll be shocked unless we're going to sign someone, but even still, just be so surprising to sign him, give him probably a big signing on fee on his new deal. He's been involved in all these games and then suddenly he goes to Bayern. Even at Bayern have three wingers ahead of him in the pecking order already. It's not as if he's going there and he's sort of going to just start playing because they're lacking in that area. So I think he stays. Seems like Giroud stays. And then obviously the fringe guys, Bakayoko probably out. Sorry, I didn't mention Rudiger, but I think we've kind of assumed his time's up. He's not getting anywhere near the squad. Christensen was out of the squad today after starting all the Premier League games before this. So Yeah, I think the likes of Bakayoko, Moses, etc., they'll all be offloaded too. So it'll be a busy few days. But for the big names, I think, yeah, probably Alonso and Loftus-Cheek are the ones that head out with Rudiger.
And Will, anything to add on those? Any difference?
Yeah, I think I agree with Grant on the keepers, but I think it's going to be too hard to shift Kepa at this stage because we're not going to get any wage contribution. I would personally just send him somewhere if we can find someone to send him and just pay all of his wages. So you at least kind of get him in the shop window. You don't have the sideshow of it. And otherwise, he's just going to be rotting on the bench. I guess he becomes number two keeper then, maybe. But yeah, I think we should try and push shift him, but I don't think it's going to be possible. Alonso, I think, will probably go out of the two. I agree with Grant. And then Rudiger, obviously Rudiger's been linked with Tottenham. I think I didn't actually realise that Rudiger and Christensen have got 2 years left on their deals. So Rudiger this summer, really, you know, I think that's probably contributed to us where we've got to have one centre-back go. That's obviously contributed to the decision. I think I saw something about him trying to convince him to sign a new deal before loaning him out. I mean, that's not going to happen. Like he holds all the cards at this point. So,
on that quickly before you round up on Rudiger, is that there are parallels with maybe the Batshuayi loan deal in terms of Batshuayi extended before going out on loan, and maybe they think that with next summer's Euros on the horizon, Rudiger, obviously, if he stays and just rots in the reserve or trains with the youth team, I mean, I don't think he's irreplaceable for Germany. So I imagine he'd be basically out of contention for the Euros. So is that something he's willing to risk at 27 years old? And then next summer still has 1 year left. I mean, his value's almost gone then. I mean, it's a horrible situation. I think I understand when youngsters have to sign the new deal before going out alone, but it feels a little bit unfair if we've relegated him to fifth choice and we want him to sign a new deal before he goes out alone.
But I think he holds all the cards though, because I think he knows that Chelsea aren't going to risk keeping him there as fifth choice, upsetting the dressing room. I think he knows that if push comes to shove, Chelsea will loan him even with two years left. Like it makes sense for him not to extend unless we're giving him a little bit of a pay rise to incentivize him to sign that deal. I just think he'll say, well, no, look, you've got to let me go. Otherwise, he'll start sort of motioning to that he's going to not make life easy. So I think Chelsea will loan him out. And then he's got 1 year left and it gives him a lot more freedom for lots of clubs to come in for him then, because with 1 year left he's going to be pretty cheap, you know, he's going to go for under what he's worth, so it'll be interesting to see how we handle that. Maybe it's worth, you know, incentivizing him to extend the deal by giving him a little pay bump and then getting some contribution from the loan, so it kind of cancels itself out in some ways, and then sending him out. I just really hope he doesn't go to Tottenham. I mean, that would be, I can't see that happening. I think there's going to be enough interest in Rudiger where we can send him elsewhere. It's just whether he maybe pushes for Tottenham because he wants to stay in London and he's settled. But yeah, that'll be interesting. I think that will not go down well if he goes to Tottenham. And obviously, the only other interesting, Grant touched on Callum, but obviously the defensive midfield position, I think obviously Jorginho's been linked with a move away, but played pretty well today. I think Frank quite likes Jorginho. I think he likes his attitude, his professionalism, you know, etc. But I think if someone came in like a Rice or a, I can't see Rice happening, but say if we were to bring in like a Partey, I think Jorginho would probably stay as well. Gilmore's going to take a little bit of time to get up and running. So you've got your four kind of solid options there. And then Gilmore to come in, and then maybe you reassess it in January. Maybe Jorginho is not getting enough minutes, and then moves on. And I think Loftus-Cheek will definitely go. I think it's just about finding him a right fit and one that he's happy with. But he's not being involved at all now, which is a telltale sign that he's probably going to be loaned out.
Yeah, I've seen clubs like West Ham and Newcastle linked with Loftus-Cheek. I think that would probably be about right, I think, Grant, in terms of somewhere he can get lots of starts and really just sort of find his feet again. I think I'd be surprised if there's anyone else coming in before Monday's deadline, and I think this really is about, we've discussed all the names, but I think they can get two of those out the door before close of play on Monday. I think you would have to say it's a very successful window.
Yeah, I think with Rudiger, if he was linked with Napoli, and obviously Koulibaly looked like he was, you know, heading to City, obviously with their, you know, their press statement with Koulibaly's name already in there when they signed Diaz. So I think that would have been a natural move. They had, you know, what about money, some money to spend, and they would have needed a replacement. Obviously, that's now off. So you still think Rudiger has enough interest in Serie A to actually find a loan move there with a decent fee. I wouldn't not send him to Spurs. No chance. No chance whatsoever. We should be strengthening rivals at this stage. I mean, we've done it in the past, but only with, you know, really good club servants like Czech or whatever. That's, we felt kind of deserved to stay in London, or, you know, we're happy for William to go there instead of renewing him. But that's kind of a different situation. I don't think, yeah, probably no one's going to come in. Gilmore's back in 4 weeks, Lampard says. So obviously 2 weeks get taken by the international break, and then he's in the picture again. And obviously he's someone who's really liked and who's going to be kept involved. So it's hard to see him getting any games if another deeper midfielder does arrive. Yeah, so I think we're just about getting there. But I think as well, you know, Rudiger's he's a big personality in the dressing room. Kurt Zouma said he's his closest ally in the dressing room. And obviously he's got the two German guys. So I think there's the chance for some things to get a bit disruptive if he stays. And Alonso, you know, could cause some issues. I just think we want a nice trim squad. No issues. Everyone competing. Maybe just two or three guys every week out of the 18, so that everyone's got a chance to be in there. And we have a decent little run of fixtures coming up. You know, we've got a couple of home games after the break, Southampton and Sevilla, I believe. So, yeah, I'm pretty positive that by Monday, everything will look in better shape. We'll know the pecking order a bit more at centre-back, especially because, you know, there's always the chance today Zouma was left out again, and then you're like, is he going to Everton? What the hell's going on there? So I think we're a lot closer to getting, you know, to where we need to be. And that continuity and that predictability is a good thing, I think, and exactly where we need to try and aim for.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's well summarised. And you mentioned, yeah, Southampton at home straight after the break, and then Sevilla at home to kick off the Champions League. They've also drawn Rennes and Krasnodar in that group. And then obviously Man United away straight after that. So it's sort of coming together just at the right time with a pretty tricky run of games going on. The away trip to Krasnodar after that away game at Man United. So yeah, this was a much needed result for Chelsea. Southampton is another winnable home game coming up, and I think yes, it's all piecing together nicely, and they just need to sort the squad out before Monday, and then you get Ziyech back after the break, Pulisic even fitter. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, maybe Billy Gilmore can come in and contribute again as he did last season. Anything else to add, Will?
Not really. I think it will just be interesting to see what happens with Rice. I think we clearly want him. I think it is the contributing factor. I think it's probably that the board have probably looked at it and said we need to try and raise some money before we throw a bid in, because doesn't seem like we've actually even made a bid. Mm-hmm. But you can see, I think what will probably happen is there'll be a half-hearted bid on deadline day that's kind of like way below what they would expect, a little bit like what we did with Stones, just to see if they, you know, see what the response is. Obviously, I think it has been quite widely reported that West Ham are kind of need money. And I think their owners have even sort of mentioned that. So I can see that happening. And I could even see West Ham caving and accepting, even if it's kind of below market value, which would obviously really, really not go down well with their fans. Or Mark Noble would probably be moaning on Twitter immediately. But I think that would be a huge boost. I think if we're going to play with this double pivot, adding in a sort of different type of profile to the ones that we've got, I think it would be a huge boost. 21 I'm a big fan of Rice's. I think if we were able to pull that deal off, I think you would look at this window and just be like, wow, it's just like an outstanding window. We've basically addressed all of our problems in the squad, really. I think centre back's probably something the next window, maybe that's another position that we monitor, because obviously Thiago Silva's old, and we probably need more of a long term solution there. But really, you'd have to say, if we were able to bring in Rice or a defensive kind of central midfielder to play in that double pivot, we've basically ticked every box.
Yeah, I think it'll be exciting to analyse that, and I think we'll be back once the window is closed to really run the rule over the ins and outs. Anything else to add, Grant? Any predictions? I think both of us will be more pessimistic on the Rice front. I think 2-1 in favour of him not getting over the line before Monday. But yeah, as I said, we'll review it all next week, and it's job done, I guess. And yeah, I think nicely moving on before that game against Southampton in a few weeks. If you like the show, you can support it by leaving us a review on iTunes. 5-star review would be appreciated. You can also follow the show across all social media at Palpable Pod. I've been your host, Jack Rathbone. We will see you next week.